Victoria Duda again. And thank you so much for this really inspiring talk. I'm afraid I'm going to say the same thing one more time with a different story behind it. And just thinking when I was listening to, you know, about this field of love and how true that is no matter what kind of spiritual path we're taking. And it was also quite beautiful that I think at this conference it is so easy to feel that field. I think it's always there, but it's very easy to feel it. And I was really, really touched after my first talk and after I was talking to some of you individually to receive so much love. And I feel so strengthened to just keep continue doing this work with about three times as much power as I was doing it. I will always do it no matter what happens. I promise that to myself. But if I feel such an amazing community behind me, I'm going to do it three times as hard as I was doing it before. So thank you so much. And today I want to share with you the cases that I've been doing so far in a very superficial overview, which we can do in 20 minutes. But I would like to talk to you about a little bit about the technique, how it all works, because I think everybody is very curious about that. And then I would like to talk to you about the cases that emerge from the techniques and how these cases form a pattern, what we learn from them, and what people learn who undergo such a process, who are willing, most clients I have, they're willing to undergo a series of 10 sessions or 12 sessions. So they are committing to stay with me whatever happens, whatever comes up, so that we don't just see one thing, but we see a development. So as you have heard, if you've heard my first talk, I'm using hypnotherapy, but that is a word that is very misleading because there has been a major breakthrough in the history of hypnotherapy. And if I say what that is, it's going to sound extremely controversial because that major development is the moment when we took hypnosis out of hypnotherapy. So the whole word is actually no longer valid. I'm still using it and many of my colleagues are using it because it's what's on our certificates. But what I mean with that is that when we hear hypnosis, we actually talk about two different things, or we can mean two different things. The one is heterohypnosis, which is, you see it on stages. That was more people associate with hypnosis when there is a hypnotist with a pendulum or with a sharp eye taking over the will of other people and making them do crazy stuff on stage, which is actually something that can happen and something that has been going on even in therapy. But this kind of hypnosis has been removed largely and is considered today as unethical. I also consider unethical any sort of therapy that is giving me the power to give a suggestion to someone, an idea, to plant anything in their head that might influence them. So what we're working with is rather auto-hypnosis, where we only stand there as a guide and we are helping the person to get into a relaxed, focused state of mind, which is required to do the process. But then we step back. And the whole thing really has a kind of energetic dimension that is not really taught in traditional, I think, psychotherapy schools or hypnotherapy schools. For example, I qualified at the London School for Clinical Hypnosis, which is a very kind of orange type of organization, yeah, very rational-minded. It's good, it's very good that it exists because it allows to put this very controversial issue to a level of university. But we haven't learned anything about spiritual realms or energetic dimensions of the whole work. So I remember when I qualified, for example, we had long weekends when we trained with each other. And at the end of the day, I was so tired that it was beyond the tiredness that I've ever experienced in my life. Like now we go away from this conference and I think all of us are very energized and very motivated, but we will also feel tired. That was not that sort of tiredness. That was a tiredness when I was stepping into my house and I was falling down on the floor and falling asleep straight away in my clothes. And I couldn't get an answer for this phenomenon. I didn't know what was going on until I had a friend who was educated in energetics, in bioenergetics, and in energy healing. And she said, "How are you sitting with that client?" I said, "Well, face to face." And she said, "Don't do that. Just sit straight a little bit away and look parallel to them." And there was an information I never got. I did that and the problem stopped. So there is a, what I'm trying to say with that, there is a huge ignorance in the education about an energetic dimension that is going on, but it is going on. And what we want to avoid is that the therapist is putting their energetic power over the client, which would be a completely unethical situation. So we do guided meditation. And we do it to a level that is, I think today, very commonplace almost. You know, if you get a better quality commercially produced guided visualization CD, it will do the job. It will get you into a relaxed state of mind that is necessary. Talking about that, it's actually quite interesting. There's a little bit of research, not much, but there's a little bit of research of measuring the brain waves, the brainwave activity, when people are doing past life regressions. And the interesting thing is that these patterns show that they are not the same as your normal visualization, and it's not the same as your normal meditation session. So you're not going into alpha, or you're not going into any of particular brainwave. But what tends to happen is that the brain is jumping into all of the possible patterns. And it's interesting because when you undergo that process, it's exactly how you feel. And that's exactly what clients are reporting to me. They say, sometimes I felt very deep, I was somewhere else. And sometimes I feel like I just come back. And sometimes I feel like I'm too rational. Am I doing anything wrong? Now, it's just saying, no, this is actually how it works, that you still have your present day awareness that is constantly checking back and forth. And you are doing the same sort of brain activity as what you're using when I ask you the question, what did you have for dinner last night? You are remembering, but then you're coming back into the present to report about it. So the point is that the actual process is quite simple. Where it becomes tricky is how to conduct the whole session to get the maximum amount of information out. So I think a good past life therapist is a good interviewer. You have to be able to ask questions in a very subtle way that is allowing most of the story to emerge, because people go into that state of mind and it is like a dream. That's why it's very difficult to do it alone. People ask me, can you do it alone? Absolutely. But it will be very difficult because it's going to take you somewhere away where it's not accessible to make it into a story. So we are just asking questions that allow one piece of information coming out after one piece of information, but with the spiritual subtlety of knowing which questions are going to lead the client into the pattern. So when somebody gets a story about simple biography, it's not necessarily going to show the spiritual pattern that we are after. Sometimes the spiritual pattern occurs in one moment of the life. You've been living, for example, for 80 years, but in one moment was the breakthrough that we want to access. So if you just get the story of how many children you had, what was your profession, where did you live, we completely miss the point, because the interesting thing might come in a couple of crucial moments. But it's an art. We train for that. We train to sensitize ourselves to ask the right questions and to get into a state where a lot of the karmic pattern comes up. So yesterday we heard fascinating information about karma yoga. And I was just thinking when I listened to that actually the past life regressions that I'm doing are pure karma yoga. It's nothing else. Because we go back into a series of past lives. Usually the way it happens is that there is an interview, and out of the interview comes information. And the way I like to close a session is to go to the moment of death. I almost never ever leave without that I go to the moment of death, because the moment of death tends to become the most important moment of every life. And I ask the question, what is in the moment of your death your predominant thought or sentiment? And if we are lucky, and that doesn't happen always, and I'm really doing research to try to find out when it's happening and how to make that a higher percentage, because that's where it's fascinating, where we can go on with the interview and people go into the afterlife, in-between, bardo kind of state, and they do a life review. So When we get there, they usually have some sort of guides or some sort of energy available to them that allows them to do a life review. So imagine this is what's happening to you. You've been doing one of these sessions. You die, you get a life review. Then you get another session. You die, you get a life review. Then it's happening again and again and again. And your brain and your mind is basically beginning to be conditioned to look at life from eternity's point of view. You're getting used to doing life reviews over and over again. So there was one client to me last week who asked, can I do a past life regression to this life? And I said, that's a fantastic idea. So when we imagine that this life is going to come to an end and I will have to do a past life regression and I will have to do a review on that life, then the value patterns are automatically adjusting. So if this process is completed, then what is very interesting that the results are very similar to what people experience when they have near-death experiences. It's almost we can recreate that. And they come back with the same message. They come back with a message saying that those values that I thought were important are not really the ones that are important from eternity's point of view. So that's when a readjustment is occurring. And we don't close it here. What we do is we tend to look at the past, then we tend to connect the past with the present life, and then we look into the future. So we say, if you have been working on a certain karmic pattern in the past and you're working with that in the present, then where are you going? What is the meaning? I like to use the example of a coordinate system. If you put into the coordinate system a couple of dots and you connect those dots, then you see where the curve is going. Now you can tell, is it going to be a sinus curve or a linear or whatever there is. And it's the same in these sessions, that you start to see where you're going. So then we take it a step further and we do what we call the future life progressions. And it's not looking into the crystal ball. So we are not trying to go into a fixed future that we somehow access in some sort of science fiction way. But we just ask the subconscious, if you're not changing anything right now, where are you going to end up in 5 years' time? Where are you going to end up in 10 years' time? Where are you going to end up at the end of your life? And where are you going to end up in your next life? And then we have to make an assessment of that. Is that something that you like? And is that something that is in alignment with your purpose? And if it is, then it's very good. If it's not, which is in 99.9% of the cases, then we come back into the present. And I think this is the most important question of the whole process. Because in the present, we can ask then, what do I have to change right now to get to an alternative future that is more in alignment with my purpose? And we do this as many times as it takes to get to a high percentage of fulfilling. I like to call it your existential program, but it's your life mission. And if you get to a high percentage, then changes are beginning to happen. How much time? Just 6 minutes, and I can tell you a little bit about the issues that come up. So you can imagine that we have these three-step process where we go into the past, into the present, and in the future. So in all of these steps, there are different techniques and different issues coming up. In the past, usually sort of issues are coming up that are more psychotherapeutic, if you want to put it like that. There are many, 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 and I can't name you all, but what is more common is that people go back into stages where they've been victimized and traumatic experiences like that come up. And we use techniques to help with these traumatic experiences. One technique that I like to use is, it's called getting into the mind of the opponent. I give you a story that will clarify it. For example, there was this lady who I was reported in literature that there was this lady who saw herself as a witch being burned at the stake. And as a result of that vision, she started to feel traumatized and victimized until she was asked to go back into that same scenario and go into the minds of the priests who burned her. So it turned out that the priests were burning her because they were scared, because they believed that she was possessed by the devil. And in order to save not just the community, but also her eternal soul, they had to cleanse that devil out with the fire. So at least that helped her to understand that there is a positive purpose behind everything. And she could let go of the feeling of victimization. And this is where it gets heavier. Because this is relatively easy to deal with. People say, oh, what happens if I see myself in a horrible situation? I said, that's the easy bit. The really heavy bit is when you are the one who's lighting the fire. And that is completely unexpected for most people. So imagine someone coming to me who's a very compassionate, civilized, intelligent, and committed young lady who is working, a true ally of evolution, who's working for evolutionary purposes, written books in there. And then we go back to the immediate past life, and she has been a Nazi torturer. And that is not at all the exception. I think if people go back long enough or often enough, it is every one of us past. You know, I mean, I always say to people, you know, just look at human history. It is a horror movie. So if you go back into the past, you're going to see the horror. Psychologically speaking, you have an extremely powerful shadow work going on because you're starting to identify with people that your personal ego at the present absolutely does not want to identify with. And if you undergo such a process, you realize that it's not a theoretical identification. It's with the whole emotions, with the whole mindset, everything is coming up. I hardly have ever anyone who's not getting tearful or emotional about that. So you are really becoming the person who has committed crimes, murders, war crimes, atrocities, and horror like that. And you will have to, in order to not just survive that, but to grow from this, you will have to dig deep enough to find a positive intent. In whatever crazy stuff that was going on, you will have to find a positive intent. And then you will have to find a way to ask yourself, if I haven't just yet found the way to do that positive intent in another way, then I have to find it now. So it's becoming utterly non-judgmental. It's not to say I was a sinner or bad karma or anything like that, but to find a positive intent and to find a way to turn it into a positive way. After that,
questions or after that?
In a minute. Yeah, in a minute. So when that is occurring, then as you can imagine, the next step is, if you really work through that, if you really live through that process, the way you are looking at people who you judged before is completely transformational. You are never going to judge anyone again because you have seen that you've done it in the same way in the past or even worse. And this is where the paradox kicks in. And this is why I said that I'm going to tell the same story with other words. That you will realize that there is no such thing as I or I did something, because you connect with any story in the past that is humanity's past. And it's all just a kind of cosmic theater. But the underlying thing, and this is beautiful, I could talk about that more, but our time is over, that there is an underlying fabric, and then as corny as it sounds, it is love. That from that we are trying to play out different varieties of existence and speak to the one that I think or I believe is serving love in the deepest way. And it becomes meaningful. I think the most beautiful part of this work and why I'm so passionate about doing it is because it gives you an extremely strong, not just intellectual understanding, but a feeling that everything that you do in your life, even a very small thing, is infinitely meaningful for the universe, because it is going to determine in which direction consciousness is going. Do you want to ask a question now? Yeah. Sure. Okay, let's go with the Nazi past. Someone is seeing themselves as a Nazi, and they see committing the things that the Nazis committed. And then you go back into asking what was there a positive intent behind all of that. And in this particular case that I'm thinking about right now, the positive intent was actually evolution. So there was this particular person was didn't become a Nazi because it was everybody else was a Nazi. He was committed to it because he thought that this idea of the Übermensch is so beautiful. It's a thought of evolution, actually, and it is a beautiful thought, isn't it? But of course, what perverted it is the idea that we are evolving into the Übermensch and you are not evolving. So the exclusion and the discrimination of other races and other people made it evil. So you could then keep the idea of evolution, but in the next step of your karmic development, you're going to say, yes, but it's not just me, it's everybody. So it's becoming inclusive. And it's this kind of trial and error and getting rid of the errors and the horrors and just keeping the essence, the beauty. Thank you.